throw balls far. You want good words? Data languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along with for the next hour. We're going to succumb to the pressure, Jared. At the end of the show, if we have time, we're going to talk about why Caitlin Clark isn't on the Olympic team.
Okay.
I tried not to do it, but it's one of the, I mean, it really is one of the biggest stories out there. So at the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about that. I want everybody to get their thinking caps on. I found a list that was really interesting to me. What is that list, you ask? Well, it is a list of college football's winningest programs of this century. So since 2000. And the list cut off with teams that have won 200 games.
Okay.
So there's been, what, 24 seasons so far? This will be kind of the 25th, right? Counting 2000. So 2000 is one. Yeah, yeah. Through the 2023 season. So in 24 years, how many and who, how many college football teams have won 200 games? So if you put that into perspective, 24 divided by 200. It's like what? 8.5-ish? I mean, 8 would be 8 times 25 is 200. So you'd have to win a little bit more than 8, not quite 9 games a year in those 24 seasons that have been played so far. So how many do you think have done that, and who are they? Then, once we reveal how many and who surprises you that they are there, and who surprises you that they're not there? Okay?
Okay.
Then also, right off the top, Stanley Cup Finals, Game 2. The Panthers defeat the Edmonton Oilers 4-1. Talk a little bit about that. And then, were you surprised with the news yesterday of Danny Hurley turning down the Lakers job? And what did I see? Was it 6 years for $70 million, or do I have those two numbers backwards?
I think I thought it was 10. No, it was 6.
It was 6 for 70. I couldn't remember if it was 6 for 70 or 7 for 60. I think it was 6 for 70.
It was
more than 10 a year.
I'm sorry. It was...
Yeah, so 6 years, $70 million. Are you surprised that he turned that down? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News. I'll hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. Big Elk and Paragon TV, when we get rolling in the high school seasons, will be on there as well. It's free to download. It's got everything. Of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check it out on KADSAM.com, or you can find us anywhere where podcasts are available. How are you today, Jared?
Very good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Got up and did a little... I don't know how far we walked, probably somewhere around a mile to a mile and a half this morning.
Well, it was a pretty morning to
do that. It was a beautiful morning. I'm going to be honest. So at some point over the weekend, I don't know if I strained my calf / Achilles on my right leg. I don't remember an exact moment. So I don't know if it's maybe dehydration from the weekend that made my, but yesterday I had a hard time. Sunday and yesterday, I had a kind of hard time getting my right leg around. But today, made the walk. We were planning on going further, and I thought, kind of felt it a little bit. I was like, we better turn around. So don't overdo it so we can continue. But anyway, yeah, day is off to a roaring start. I know one thing, waking up at 6 a.m. to go walking, I'm going to have to start going to bed a lot earlier than, say, 10:30 or 11.
Yeah. Yeah, that 6 a.m. comes at you pretty quick. Well, good for you.
Yeah, what about you?
More active than me.
Well. What are you doing? What'd you do this morning? Nothing?
I woke up.
Got up and got ready for work?
Well, I did the opposite. I woke up and ate a chocolate donuts.
Ooh,
and
I'd rather have done what you did.
Screamed at the kids to get out of bed.
I had to do that, bro. Come on, bro.
And you think the summertime means maybe we get a little bit more sleep because we don't have to get the kids up to get ready for school and get them there and all that stuff? Not really. They have to get up a little earlier, actually, because where they go stay during the day is a little farther away than where the actual school is at, which is literally down the street from us. And in this case, last couple days, yesterday and today, they've had to go to my dad's, who's out there at Foss Lake, so it's a little bit of an extra drive.
It's almost exactly the same right now because Summer Pride is at 8 o'clock.
Ah,
so
yeah.
It's really no different for us than it is
during
the school year.
I've noticed, especially my oldest, who's very conscious of how she looks and what she's wearing when she got ready for school, you know, make sure her hair was right and everything matched and all that. Now it's just...
Yeah, whatever.
Throw on some shorts and a t-shirt, put my hair in a ponytail, and I'm done.
It's summertime.
Yeah.
I'm just chilling.
She don't care.
Did you watch the game last night, hockey game?
I did, too.
I watched a whole bunch of that hockey game.
I did while I was helping my wife clean. So we have this big couch, right? It's kind of like an L-shaped type couch. It has a little chaise lounge at the end. And I think we've maybe pulled that thing out to clean underneath it and behind it maybe one time. So she's like, we got to clean this. So I helped her out. You know, the hinges together, you have to unhook it and move it out. We did all that. So while the hockey game was on, I was helping her out with that. Funny side note, behind, so it butts up against a wall. We pulled that couch out. Somebody got back there with a marker.
Oh dear!
And wrote their name. Who do you think that would be? Who wrote their name back there? And it appeared that like they tried to wipe it off, and it did not happen. I think what they thought happened, what was going to happen, was they used a dry erase marker, the same dry erase marker that we practiced our spelling words with. They thought, well, it'll just come off. And it did not on the wall.
Turns out the wall isn't the magic board.
Perfectly hidden by the couch, mind you. We had no idea it was there. And we got a good laugh at it because, like, well, the couch is going back there anyways. It's fine. And if we have to, we'll repaint. Who do you think, of my two kids, who do you think wrote their name with a marker on the wall behind the couch?
Okay. Here, I had initially when you said this, I thought of one of your daughters. But when you said something else as you went along, I decided it was your other daughter. Initially, I thought James. But when you said she tried to clean it off, I immediately went back to Katie. Because I don't think James would have given a care enough to try to clean it off.
It was Katie. It was Katie. It said big O K-A-T. I took a picture. I'll show you. And we just laughed. And she saw it. And she immediately started tearing up, thinking, I am in trouble. She don't remember doing it. So it had to have been so. And that just shows you how long it's been since we've actually cleaned back there. And then I kind of looked at James and goes, did you do that and write your names? You write your sister's name?
Yeah.
James is just cracking up.
Now, that's a good point.
I
could see that happening.
James was laughing. She would have clammed up and tried to deny it. But she was like, no. And she started cracking up. We were all laughing. Katie was just. She felt so bad and was crying about it. I was, hey, that's a memory right there. We're not mad at you. The couch is going back in its spot. Clearly, we didn't notice it after all these years.
Right.
No one's in trouble. And I could see where she kind of tried to wipe it off. I think that's what happened was she used a dry erase marker
instead
at that very young age, thinking dry erase markers apply to anything.
Absolutely. You can put it on anything you want to and it'll come off.
It did not.
Because in her mind, it every time she saw it written, you could just erase it right off.
And I see she tried to smear it a little bit. That was funny. But no, yeah, long story there. But I did watch
I basically watched half of it because we had baseball here at Ackley Park. And as I was driving home with like 12 minutes left in the second period, Florida tied the game at 1. And so I pretty much watched the last period and a half. And that was the time where Florida just absolutely dominated. Man, they did this a couple of times against the Rangers in that series as well, where it seemed like no matter what Edmonton did, no matter what New York did in that series, trying to generate offense, the Panthers were just so stifling. It's like they had extra guys out there. And Edmonton, with all the firepower they have, it really had been neutralized, especially in the second half of that game last night. It just didn't feel like they ever really were able to generate any plausible chances of scoring. Now, the other night, they did, and Bobrovsky was just awesome on 32 shots. What did they have last? I think last night they had 16 shots on goal versus 28 for the Panthers. That was it was up there at one point. It may have been end up being a little bit more than that. But it was one of those, at least in the time that I was watching, it was just an absolute beatdown by Florida in the way that they controlled that game.
The best player is clearly Rodriguez in this series. I wouldn't say like in the league, but in this series, he's been the best player. And the goalie, too. I can't say his name. I don't even know.
Bobrovsky.
Try. Thank you. That guy Rodriguez though is clearly MVP or whatever the Conn Smythe, whatever the trophy is that they give to the MVP. He's in the lead for that. What's the stat? He has 3 goals in 2 games. I think he had two
last night.
Yeah, incredible play by that guy. And now all the pressure's on Edmonton, going back to Edmonton to try to turn this thing around. And McDavid just got to be better. We got to see him have his moment. As you know, he's been some considered the best player in the league, and he's just not showing it right now, at least from what I've seen. I'm no hockey aficionado. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to try to break this down for you. But I'm a novice fan enough to know that Connor McDavid, if he moves the needle. Like, you know, that's a guy you recognize. And he's just not performing. I'm just not seeing it from him. And they're doing it. But credit, I think, Florida, the way, like you mentioned, the defense has been fantastic. But when I think of hockey and defense, I immediately go to the goalie. And the goalie has been awesome in this game.
Yeah, he stopped 50.
For this series.
They shot – Edmonton had 19, ended up with 19 shots on goal last night. He stopped 18 of them. So he's 50 out of 51.
Man, it looked pretty dang good for the Oilers. Their first shot on goal was a goal. And I thought – They broke through the ice or whatever. They're not cold anymore. So I thought they were going to steal that game.
Here's an interesting thing to think about, because McDavid reminds – he's had to have been in the league a little bit longer than this other guy that was the prodigy of prodigies coming. And we'll see if he can equal what happened then. But so home teams in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals, home teams that go up 2-0, are 39-3 as far as winning the Stanley Cup. The 1971 Montreal Canadiens, the 2009 Pittsburgh Penguins, and then the 2011, who was it? Boston Bruins. But the 2009 Penguins is where I'm going with this.
Okay.
That was kind of Sidney Crosby's announcement to
crowning, or
not just the NHL crowd, not just hockey crowd, but, and so maybe McDavid can kind of recapture that whatever that is. Maybe he will be able to do that, because, you know, it's, I really wish, and I know TV can't do this, but they're on the same network. You know what would be awesome? If they would run a hockey game before a finals game. An NBA finals game.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Kind of back-to-backs. That way,
kind
you know.
Saturday or something.
The obvious problem here is you never know how long the hockey game's going to last.
Yeah.
And so, but with the ESPN family of networks, you know, the game was on ABC last night. If it does go there, I mean, what's ESPN showing? Nothing. They can't just be, hey, a hockey crowd, move to ESPN. But at least that would, it might introduce hockey to some of that basketball crowd that was going to watch the NBA Finals. And all it takes is just watching it a little bit. I know you don't, like, when people are like, well, what is icing? Icing is so minuscule as far as the way they get, but nobody knows what it is. And so it's like immediately, oh, okay, I don't know. Like, oh, throw my hands up and give up. Mm-hmm. If it would just introduce people to it, it's so fun to watch, and it's so exciting to watch, and especially when it gets down. You know, last night, even though it was a two-goal game, you know, Edmonton's got the power play. They take the goalie out with like 3 minutes left, and you're thinking, boy, if they can find a way to find the net here, then they'll, you know, this is going to be a great finish. And instead, they didn't. Of course, then it goes in from, you know, the half line or what have you, and the game's over. But I really wish they would do that. Edmonton, wouldn't call them out of it yet, but man, obviously, game three in both of these series, the NBA and the NHL, is going to be vitally important for the home team to win a game.
It's kind of funny. It's mirroring each other. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Were you surprised, going to the NBA real quick? Yeah, here you go. The Oilers couldn't hardly get it across mid-ice. That's exactly right. There for, I mean, almost the entire third period. Were you surprised Danny Hurley spurned the Lakers and decided to stay at UConn?
Maybe a little because of what I said about the college game is almost turned into a pro game anyways with the paying of players or however that's going to look like. And then it's the Lakers too. And you're turning down the Lakers. I mean, it's one thing turning down, say, New Orleans or the Jazz, but you're turning down the Lakers. I thought it was funny. I almost kind of look like you just turned down LeBron. Because LeBron is very complimentary of Hurley after he won that title back in April. And I thought, is this the path of him, you know, and I thought it was almost going to come true. And he, so, but money talks, man. And it sounds like UConn is trying to, I guess there was already talks of ponying up dough before this even started this. So I bet this kind of accelerated those talks. So he's about to, I think he's going to get a big payday. And then there's the actual on-court consideration of trying to win three in a row. And if he wasn't there, you know, that place, the UConn was going to break down. Everybody was going to bolt. But if with him returning, recruits are solidified. They'll stay committed. And then the guys that he still has with him, they got a great shot to start the season preseason number one and make a, you know, and run it back, as they say, and go for number three in a row. So, but to answer your question, though, I am a little surprised because it was the Lakers.
I think that's why he's not doing it.
Because it's the Lakers?
I think he was so good at what he did here. Because I was like, I thought, okay, this makes a lot of sense to me that he would bolt for the NBA because, one, he doesn't want to do it. He's tired of the NIL. He's tired of the portal. And, yeah, he's going to end up coaching – sort of pros. Why not just coach pros? And the Lakers are the glitz and the glamour and all that. You know what we forgot to think about?
What's that?
He is the absolute opposite of an LA guy. He is a New Yorker.
Right.
Complete New Yorker. So what he did here was, and I'm totally convinced that all of this, the only reason anybody knows about any of this is because he leaked it.
Oh, yeah, there's always that.
I mean, what a brilliant PR move. Because until, what, last Thursday, everyone was 100% sure it was going to be J.J. Redick. And then all of a sudden, his name gets floated out there. He's clearly going to get a raise, a substantial raise for himself, and maybe even, you know, with his NIL purse. You're right, he's going for three in a row. And what's going on with the Lakers right now, outside of one of LeBron's buddies being the coach, who would want to deal with that? You've got an old LeBron who is trying to pull strings to get a guy that's not an NBA player on the team, which you'll have to be loyal to because it's LeBron's son. Nobody wants any part of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one wants any part of that. And so I don't blame him whatsoever. My initial reaction when we kind of talked about it on the air when this kind of broke was makes sense that he'd do this just to get out of the college game. But you know what? He, you know, and then as you start seeing videos of him yelling and screaming at his players, you know, that's probably not working in the NBA. They start thinking, oh, it's probably a college guy. And you're right, three in a row, the chance for three in a row at Little Old Connecticut makes a bunch of sense. So if you'd asked me that question last, whatever the day it was, Wednesday or Thursday of last week, when that news kind of got out there, I would have been surprised. But as I thought about it, kind of heard a little bit of the, seen some of those videos of him, his coaching style, that he's allowed, that he can do in the college game, that he really can't do in the NBA, or you wouldn't think he'd be able to do. Plus, he's a New Yorker. I get it. I can totally get why he didn't do it. So, now where do the Lakers go?
Yeah, are they embarrassed now as an organization? They didn't get what they wanted. They threw a ton of money and offered him a ton of money at him, and they didn't get him. Is this embarrassing for them, or it is what it is?
It's a great question, because you wonder just how much they were willing to kind of not follow what LeBron wanted. You did mention he was pretty complimentary about Hurley, but there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, he's doing a podcast with J.J. Redick, for heaven's sakes. There's no doubt in my mind he wants J.J. Redick to be the coach. And so was this the Lakers appeasing the fan base that maybe doesn't want to follow LeBron, but then they're just going to do it anyways? I mean, I really don't. The problem here is I wonder how the contact was made from either which side first, Danny Hurley or the Lakers, because I think there is a chance that Hurley just played the Lakers here for a raise. They obviously offered him a massive package money-wise, but I don't know how real the interest actually was on his side. Now, that would be embarrassing, you know what I mean, for the Lakers. If it came out that the college coach just completely used
there's
you for
no interest at all.
Yeah, there's just no, just, hey. The, what,
just used it as leverage to get
exactly
a raise.
Exactly right. Yes. Now, that would be embarrassing. But I would suspect that by the end of the week, J.J. Redick's the coach and everything is kind of fine. Yeah, Leland's right. They may be too arrogant to be embarrassed. I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
Final note on NBA in L.A., for that matter. Episode 3 of Clipped comes out tonight. If you haven't been watching this show, it's awesome.
Is that where Lawrence Fishburne is Doc Rivers?
Yes.
And yes.
Yes. And Al Bundy, I always forget his name.
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill is
Donald Sterling.
Yes. It's wild, but it's very LA. And it you know, it's obviously documenting or going back about the whole scandal with the Clippers. And it's, you know, and there's a guy playing Blake Griffin, who looks nothing like Blake Griffin. There's a guy playing Chris Paul. And it's pretty cool. And I think it's – what year was that? 14 season? Doc Rivers' first year, got him in the playoffs. Thunder eliminated him in the second round.
That would have been 14, the 14 playoffs.
So they've already gotten to the point where they eliminated Golden State in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So that sets up the next round versus the Thunder. So I think the Thunder might be shown prominently in it.
One.
But it's still, if you like, you know, the behind the scenes, what went down now, you know how Hollywood works. It kind of, exaggerates. But it's a wild show. And Ed O'Neill's awesome. He looks just like him.
Yeah.
Talks just like him.
Yeah. I've seen some of the promos.
Yeah. I recommend it. Make sure the kids are embedded asleep, because there's a lot of language, but it's pretty good.
Clipped. All right, when we come back, put on your thinking caps. How many college football programs have won 200 games so far this century? Who are they? I'll tell you next. Skinny on Sports on the Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hanging out on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. They'll offer you free local delivery. You can drive through and pick your stuff up. They'll test you out on the curbside. Vaccinations available. And, of course, the blister packs, which is their long-term care unit packaging at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust, 809 North Main. Give them a call at 225-2121. Appreciate Rodney and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug. All right, Jared. I came across this list last night, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It is college football's winningest programs of this century to date, since 2000. And the list stopped at teams that have won 200 games. How many teams do you think have won 200 games since the year 2000 in college football?
Bama. How many? Since 2000.
Since 2000.
I'll say seven.
Yeah, there's way more than that.
Way more than that.
18.
18, really?
There's 18 teams that have essentially averaged 8.5 wins through the 24 seasons of college football leading up to this 25th in this decade, or in this century, I'm sorry. Okay. Who do you think's won the most games?
Bama.
Bama is third.
Ohio State.
Ohio State is number one. 259 wins. Bama third at 252 wins.
You're looking for number two?
Keep on guessing. Yeah.
OU, I'll just
Oklahoma,
say.
Number two, okay. 255 wins. Just keep on firing them. Who do you think's won 200? You don't have to go in order, just guessing.
We've said Bama, we said Ohio State, Oklahoma. Man, I'm reluctant to say Clemson and or Georgia.
Georgia's number four, 248. Okay. Clemson's number six, 235.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State is not on the list.
Not on this list. What about Penn State?
Penn State, not on the list.
I'm kind of going each conference.
Right,
in
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who's,
for sure.
Who's like, you know, I mentioned Clemson, the ACC. I don't think Florida State is there.
Florida State is on the list.
They're on the list. Okay.
Florida State is like 12th, 212 wins.
Okay, let's go back to the Big 12. We had OU. Is Texas on this list?
Texas really? Is on the list, okay. 213. A majority of those wins came from like 2000 to 2009.
Right.
You know, they were, you know, they had that streak of 10 wins in a row, 10 win seasons under Mack Brown, a ton of those seasons through that early part.
Has USC done enough?
USC's there, 216.
On the text line, Kansas State?
Kansas State is not on the list.
Okay. It's a good guess.
Yeah.
What about Oregon?
Oregon, there. 224, so they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8, 8. So we're missing number 5, we're missing number 7, we're missing number 10, at least in the top 10.
Michigan.
Michigan is on the list. They are 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th with 208.
I'm kind of staying in the Big Ten. What about Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, number 10, 215 wins.
Who are we missing? What number are we missing?
We're missing number 5. We're missing number 7. There's
Boise State.
Boise State, number 5. 240, actually tied for 4th.
And I, for the record, I said that before it came on the text line.
Leland said Utah. Utah is the last team on the list, dead at 200.
Oh, wow.
Missing number 7. Number 7 is a big-time name.
LSU.
LSU. LSU number 7. All right, we've got that one, got that one, got that one. Now, there's – I can't believe nobody said one of these.
It's going to be one of
There's going to be a couple that are like,
oh, yeah, them.
They were good at some point. So we got Ohio State 1, OU 2, Alabama 3, Georgia and Boise tied for fourth. Got Clemson at 6, LSU at 7, Oregon at 8, USC at 9, Wisconsin 10, Texas 11, Florida State 12. So we're missing 13. Michigan's 14. We're missing 15, 16, and 17.
Miami.
No.
Okay.
Miami's not there.
They haven't done enough. They've done a lot in the early 2000s, but nothing really much since. I'm about to start asking for clues. About to start saying what conference. Give me a conference.
Big 12.
And you said OSU's not there. Kansas State's not there. Tech?
Nope.
Texas Tech? No.
That's the problem when I say Big 12. That's where they're at now, but that's not where
TCU.
TCU. TCU, 210 wins. They were 14, 15. Yeah, they were 14th, 15. Now we got 16, 17, and 18.
Come on, listeners, help us out.
16, 17, and 18. I can't believe Nebraska's not one.
But
that'd be one that would be hard to get because you wouldn't think of them now, but they were the first of the 2000s.
Really good.
See if they amassed enough wins, right?
Same thing with Miami. They're kind of the same boat with Miami.
A little bit, yeah. They just didn't quite get there. Oh, there you go. Florida is one of them.
Florida
is definitely one of them. Florida is number 15. Yeah, we said USC's already been mentioned. Two more.
Well, on the text line, Iowa?
Iowa's not there.
Okay.
That would be a sneaky one, too.
Mm-hmm. Did I mention Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin's already been named. They were number 10.
They're number 10.
I can't believe nobody said one of these. It was like the most iconic brand in college football. I can't believe nobody's said this.
We said Bama, Penn State, OU. We've said Texas. We've said USC. I'm going through these blue bloods.
There it
We've
is.
Said Michigan.
Notre Dame. Yeah,
Notre Dame. Good job, Texter.
Yeah, Notre Dame is 17th on the list at 202. Here we go. Notre Dame. I love it. Now, this last one is probably the most – I'm going to ask in a second who's surprising not to be here and who's surprising to be here. This one is probably – well, there's no doubt. This one is the most surprising one on this list to me.
BYU.
No. ACC.
Oh, so okay. I was about to say either Syracuse or Virginia, something like that.
You've got one of the names.
Virginia Tech.
204 wins. They are number 16 on this
list. I was
right
there with, they're kind of that early 2000s. I mean, even late 90s, if you're going to be honest, but early 2000s. But they've really dropped off, so I didn't think they'd get enough.
I didn't either. I'm really surprised Virginia Tech is on this list at 204 wins. Here's the deal. It goes to show you, to me, how not hard it is to win 8 games a year. Now, I mean, they've got some big-time winning seasons early on in the 2000s to stack up and help a little bit. Mm-hmm. But how long has it been? I mean, they have never been relevant in the playoff talk, right?
No, never.
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 So that's 10 years.
Barely in the BCS era. I mean, they had when Vic was there.
Right.
But no.
They were the most.
But is that a product of the conference they're in? Clemson gets a lot of. Even though you got a lot of flack for saying, the Big 12 wasn't that good.
Well,
ACC is really not that. It's kind of top heavy.
So
you can accumulate a lot of 8 wins every year.
That's what was interesting to me. One, the SEC does have the most teams with 4. Bama, Georgia, LSU, and Florida. The actual Big 12 only has 2. I guess you could throw in TCU as 3, but it's just OU and Texas. The Big 10, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan. But the ACC... Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech. I mean, they're right there with the rest. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is the ACC, 2 of those teams amassed probably a majority of their wins before Clemson started rolling. Make sense?
Yeah.
With Florida State and Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Who are you surprised it's not on this list? Oklahoma State, I thought would for sure.
Well,
but that shows you how bad they struggle. I guess I can't believe they hadn't won 200 games in this century.
It has to be close to that. You'd think so, but that's one of them. I almost said Iowa State, but they've been good lately, not earlier. I don't know. Maybe. Well, it's so weird to be.
Penn State was surprising.
Penn State's a big surprise. Yes. Because what we've always said about Penn State, they can beat everybody but Ohio State and Michigan. So you think there's enough wins there to get them on that list. You know, the text line, OSU must have been in the 190 range. They have to be on the cusp. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to find their wins. I should have done this, but I was messing around with something else. We'll figure that out. We'll figure out how many.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Let's start adding them up. Three. I'll do this later. I'm not going to do it on here. But, yeah, Penn State was surprising. Iowa's kind of been that sneaky team that wins. You know, every now and then they'll jump on win 10. They probably very rarely win less than 7, you know? They've got to be close. Let me find where I saw this tweeted because there were some people talking underneath, and it actually gave some totals for, like, teams that didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
But, no, it kind of lays out, to me, when we talk about what we're going to see coming up, with some differences in conferences, with the realignment, who's been successful, who's not. I wonder if, you know, Utah's obviously, it seems like the Vegas favorite in the Big 12 at least. But I guess this list would tell you, don't sleep on TCU.
Yeah, when you think they're down,
they won a bunch of games in the early part of the 2000s that propelled them into the Big 12. But since they've been in the Big 12, what have they played? 3 conference title games since it's come back in 2017. They played OU the first year. K-State, maybe just 2. They would have been in it in 2015, the first year of the, or 14, the first year of the playoff. It had been them and Baylor in a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have they had a little bit of growing pain stepping up? Sure. Have they completely fallen off the cliff? Absolutely not. So maybe they're one of those teams that, when you think about who could be the power in the Big 12, TCU almost never gets brought up.
They have
a track record that they should be brought up.
And I've been firm on this. They could be in a perfect position geographically to take advantage of NIL, being in the Metroplex. Mm-hmm. I've said that about, you know, the Miamis and USCs of college football. Dallas is it's a booming economy down there, and they have boosters. They have support. You're right. That could be one of those sneaky ones that they go get some guys with their NIL capabilities.
Yeah, and then this list also kind of explains Wisconsin football. Not flashy, but it's just right there in the top 10. You know what I mean? It's just of all these years, you know, Wisconsin has just kind of been good.
Yeah.
Never great.
On Wisconsin.
Yeah. They've been good. So
like
I thought
everybody's fight song in high school.
I thought it was interesting that, you know, it seems like since the year 2000 and on, there's been such an SEC dominance of winning the title, and it's been from a bunch of different schools. You know, yes, Alabama's won a majority of them, but there's been times where different schools have kind of popped up and been really good enough to win titles. But it also illustrates that it's not consistent. You know, if you go two more years on current tracks, Florida will not be there. Yeah, a lot of their a lot of their wins are built up and in the bank from back before and not now. So,
right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's surprising that the ACC was three. And maybe just Virginia Tech, because Florida State and Clemson have been pretty good. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not surprised with those two, but
yeah, Virginia Tech. Yeah,
a little surprised.
Yeah, it's one of those, if you'd asked 5 years ago, they probably were still in the consciousness of you going, oh, yeah, you know, Virginia Tech was good. But now roll on another five from 2017 to now or whatever. And it seems like, golly, it's been a decade since Virginia Tech was any good, at least in my mind. But that's how many they built up early on. So, anyway, when we come back, topic that I've been trying to avoid, but we're going to talk about it. The Olympics and Caitlin Clark. Skinny on Sports coming back on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. 98.1 FM, the sports animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
Welcome back, Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Paul Jones Drug, convenience packaging. That's the individual packaging of your daily medication, so you don't have to load your pill caddy. They'll do it for you, basically. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Also, Boomtown Grill today, Jared. $5 chicken fried steak and a side is the special. Down at the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. Boomtown, open 7 days a week. 11 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays. Happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. Got 12 big screen TVs to enjoy, appetizer plates, drink specials. Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main. And, of course, our friends at Rother Brothers. Rother Brothers, family-owned dealership started by three owners in Kingfisher in 1976. They now expanded to three locations, Clinton, Fairview, and Kingfisher. Stop by Rother Brothers. Highway 183 just north of Clinton for all your equipment, parts, repairs, all kinds of makes and models they can service. Excellent service, huge selection, exceptional support for the customers there at Rother Brothers. You found OSU 197.
That's what I counted.
On the wins, I went back to this tweet that teams were asking, or fans of teams, how many do we have? 196 for Penn State. So there are a couple of teams that were right there on the cusp of it, getting to that 200 win plateau. Louisville, 183. You know, A&M's not on there. I think that would probably surprise people nationally. Doesn't surprise us. We know what A&M's been.
Nobody texts in A&M, so it doesn't surprise the listeners
either. It doesn't surprise anybody around here. Everybody realizes A&M has been a disappointment for all these years. Just a couple of ups, but mostly very mediocre from A&M throughout the years. And that's continued. I mean, they're...
Tough guys is all they are. Fake tough guys.
They are essentially the exact same team in the SEC as they were here in the Big 12.
Very much so.
Just a normal.
Thus, why they got so upset when it was announced that Texas was joining their conference. Like, oh, here we go. We're going to be second fiddle, third fiddle, fourth fiddle again.
Oh, well. All right.
Do you think they'll hang up pod champions or You know what I mean? Do you think they'll make rings for that?
Yes.
If they beat three teams?
Yes. Because they're not going to win anything else. So you might as well you might as well have that for your for your trophy
like when
case.
They made Big 12 South champions. Like, nobody's doing that. Nobody did that. That's not a thing.
Big 12 was in existence for, what, since 96 to 2010? That was never a thing, except for once.
Nobody was doing that.
College Station. See, that's why it's so easy to make fun of them.
Gig them.
They got all kinds of... I mean, anyways. So A&M didn't make it. OSU, 3 wins shy, and also Penn State was 4 wins shy of that 200 plateau so far in this century. Okay, big story or big conversation piece all around the country right now is the fact that Caitlin Clark was not put onto the U.S. Women's Olympic basketball team for this year. Are you surprised?
Well, some yes and some no, but I was surprised for the, like, not because of who she is. And I think she's done enough to qualify, honestly. But I also, I think I was more surprised, like, okay, get her on the team. We'll sell a lot of Olympic jerseys with her name on it. We'll get a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs on the women's game during the Olympics. So that's where I was kind of more surprised.
Yeah, I don't know what the qualification system. I know that she
I don't know that
she wasn't
either,
able to go to the tryout because she was still playing for Iowa.
Like still a
in college.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't able to do that at that time. And so if that's one of those mandatory things that you got to be at, okay. I mean, the WNBA clearly, at least from a player's standpoint, has no clue how to market themselves. And I think a big part of why this is obvious that they have no clue is, one, they've never had to, because no one has ever cared about the WNBA since its inception 30 years ago. And so they've really been able to kind of do whatever they've wanted with the backing of the NBA's money. And so I don't know if the culture of the WNBA has always been kind of this nasty and, quite frankly, feminist and lesbian. I mean, it's just the truth of what they're dealing with. And so, you know, when you see, you know, Caitlin Clark has clearly been coached up from a PR standpoint, either at Iowa or then, you know, after that, to where when she's asked about this, she sounds very, very, very professional about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when anybody else in that league, almost player-wise, is asked a question, they have no clue how to answer it in any sort of professional way. I mean, and so, you know, that's... this the Olympic team of this year's women's team isn't on the same level, even close, to the Dream Team. But the Dream Team happened for two reasons. One, we were getting tired of being beaten by pros from other countries with our college kid. And two, the NBA and David Stern, with what Michael Jordan was becoming and what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson started, as far as, you know, that run from the 80s all the way until Jordan was done, the NBA and David Stern, U.S. basketball, all conglomerated, I'm sure, together to realize this was a great opportunity to grow the game, the NBA brand, internationally. And now, were there guys on that team that their play at that moment probably said they shouldn't be on the team? Yeah. Larry Bird, poor guy, couldn't even stand for a bunch of it because his back hurt so bad. But were you ever going to leave Larry Bird off that team from a PR standpoint? Absolutely not.
No.
Think about this, Jared. It's hard. It's hard to go back in those times when we were both young, but Magic Johnson had AIDS, and he was still on the team.
True.
But there was no way in the world you were leaving Magic Johnson off that team from a PR standpoint. And of course, it was genius by Stern or whoever decided this for that to be the right time, because what happened? I mean, you had dudes getting autographs on the floor from those guys. And it became this thing that now the NBA is globally recognized, but that's really where that started, was the Dream Team and that Olympics that kind of opened up the rest of the world to those guys, you know, and they're all, and it was such a fascinating team because it was the legend, you know, it was perfect timing. I'm not sitting here telling you Caitlin Clark is going to be that type of player in that league, but at least from a PR standpoint right now, she is the league. She is the needle. All you have to do is look at the ratings of games that she plays in or doesn't. Look at the attendance of games that she plays in or doesn't. Look last night. She is on a road game, and everybody is chanting, "We want Caitlin," when she's on the bench, and it's not even in her home gym. And so from a business standpoint, from a PR standpoint, from a trying to get the WNBA out of the financial doldrums, this is their shot, and they blew it by not having Caitlin Clark on that team. It's ridiculous. But you know what? I don't think they care, because I think the WNBA has been so kind of compartmentalized for themselves because they've never been in the limelight. It's never really made any financial sense to have it, because all it does is just lose the NBA money. And so they've never had to follow any rules. They've just done whatever they want to. Now they're in the biggest spotlight they've ever been in, and they're completely blowing this opportunity to actually grow what that WNBA brand is. And a big part of it is because they're jealous of the person that is the face, because she doesn't look like them, and she doesn't act like them, and she doesn't date the people they date, and they don't know how to handle it. And it's sad, because the NBA saw the opportunity cashed in. The WNBA has a chance, and they're completely blowing it.
I made the quip the other day when that news first broke. It was over the weekend, with how she's getting treated, you know, the hard foul, and then the soft court stuff, and then this, and I thought, man, it'd be pretty dang funny if she just said bye to the WNBA, go to the Big Three, still make a ton of money. The fans would follow her. Or play internationally or something.
That's 100% right.
And start right now setting up your next career. Maybe an analyst on TV or whatever that may be. Just to kind of show them, hey, I'm here to help you. You don't want my help, I'm out.
You only get so many chances as a league. You only get a couple of chances. And if you don't capitalize upon those, you're going to either spin your wheels or start going back down the mountain. And this was a chance to not only get up the mountain, but maybe even top the crest and start going down, and then everything would be kind of scot-free for a while because of her and the fans and the adulation and just people that know who she is. I mean, I do know one person on the Olympic team. It's Diana Taurasi. Why? Because she's 42. I saw that. But outside of that, I have no idea who else is on that team.
I have no clue.
I
know one.
Who?
I would believe that'd be Brittany Griner.
Yeah. Brittany Griner's on that team.
You think that helps with the PR look?
Absolutely not.
No.
So, I mean, there you go. Yeah, Brittany Griner, who got thrown in a Russian prison for having marijuana. And then the only reason she's out of that Russian prison is because our president unlocked one of the deadliest guys of all time for her, meanwhile leaving one of our other people in there. Or, you know, Caitlin Clark, who all she's done is the all-time leading scorer in college basketball. Has she done a few things on the court? Absolutely. I mean, there's some elbows or some pushes, just like there is about for anybody. But, you know, and you're USA, USA, and you choose Brittany Griner, who won't stand for the national anthem, who is on the total opposite side, who quite frankly hates our country unless she's in a Russian prison. And then all of a sudden she's, you know, red, white, and blue until she gets out. And then, you know, right back to the same old Brittany Griner that we've always seen. Or Caitlin Clark, who a majority of the country is already behind. And would love to go root for her and show the USA pride by rooting for Caitlin Clark. But, nah, you know, that's just, like I said, the WNBA has never been relevant. And because they've never been relevant, we really had no idea, like, how toxic that league really is. Until now, there's a spotlight upon it. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
This is what this has been. Like, the militant lesbian faction of America. I mean, I'm dead serious about this. You see this. It's like, whoa. No wonder nobody's watching. Will Caitlin Clark be a short timer in the WNBA? We'll talk. I mean, she's going to have more opportunity. Like you said, the big three things. She can make $5 million.
She can make a ton of money with that.
She may just get fed up with it. See you later.
That's what I'm saying. She can say, I don't need this.
All right, everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.